This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're going to go out to camp. Hear from Anthony Weaver in just a sec. My gosh, you want to talk about someone bringing a knife to a gunfight?
Looking forward to that.
Worried about that Texans defense. But we got some controversy with the Astros. I think Dusty Baker's calling me out. I'm pretty sure. I know he listens to the show. There's video proof of that.
Okay, who's reporting it?
I am.
Well, yeah.
And the website put it out. So me, Landry. Not Chandler Rome, Landry. Before we hear from Dusty and his message to us, here is an update on all of the injured players. We know that Osuna's out. We know that Verlander's out. We know Yordan Alvarez is in Corpus Christi. We know that Urquidy's in Corpus Christi. We know that Brad Peacock's hurt. We know that Forrest Whitley is getting his arm looked at. We know that Chris Davinsky is hurt. We know that Biagini either sucks or is hurt and on the disabled list. We know
and he's not funny.
We know Elidmus Diaz got hurt. Did I miss anybody?
Brantley.
Michael Brantley is a little hobbled up as well.
And day-to-day with his quad?
Yeah, quad. He could be in the lineup tonight, 8 o'clock first pitch, post-game right after. I hope I didn't leave anyone out, but it's a long-ass list. Here's Dusty Baker giving us updates on, what was that show called, MASH? MASH?
Yeah, MASH.
Yeah,
the MASH unit?
The MASH unit that is the Houston Astros.
Yeah, see, we don't know about Peacock. We know Urquidy is scheduled to throw bullpen in a couple of days. He's feeling better, but he's not, you know, anywhere close. He's still a couple of weeks off. Alvarez is starting to hit, and you know, he'll probably say he's ready in a few days, but he needs some reps. You know what I mean? And he needs to see live pitching down there in Corpus Christi. Diaz has just started to work out, and so he's probably a couple of weeks away too. You know, I mean, he's a guy that we really miss sorely. Miss them all, but you know, especially our infield situation. He's our on MacGyver. He can go in the outfield. He can go first, third, short, second, and off the bench. He's a heck of a bat. So we're hoping to get him back. Hopefully, we'll get reinforcements in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, we got to do what we got to do here.
James Bond, Jackie Chan, and that bitch MacGyver.
That's an old school MacGyver too. He's not talking about the new one. He was watching the old show.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know why Cash Money was so mean to MacGyver and calling him that, but it is what it is. That's a lot of injuries, J-Lo. That's a lot of injuries.
The good news is, knock on wood, none of them are COVID related. Things are getting crazy in baseball right now, and the Astros have been kind of dodging that bullet. So at least it's stuff that you can recover from. Well, not all of them, but you can mostly recover from, and the Astros should be just fine.
Here is Dusty Baker with a message for the haters, and I'm telling you right now, this is 100 Buntgate. We'll call it Buntgate.
Yeah.
This is 100%, I think, a shot in the direction of Dusty Baker's favorite show. Here's Dusty Baker talking about the haters that have questioned his unwillingness to bunt, specifically in extra innings.
One thing I want to clarify with you guys, a lot of people are under the impression that I don't like the bunt. See, and I come from the National League, and there was a time when I was being accused of bunting too much. You know what I'm saying? And so what I want to clarify is that how many times in the past did the Astros bunt, period, number one. Number two, a lot of these guys haven't bunted since high school or college. you know, we didn't have time. I think we bunted a couple of times off the machine. We bunt, but it depends on, you know, who's up there. If he can bunt, everybody can't bunt. I mean, I had some excellent bunters in the past. They could bunt for a base hit, Brett Butler, but he couldn't bunt for a sacrifice bunt. It depends on who's up next. Depends on if we're on the road. Depends on if we're home. Depends if there's a left-hander you're bunting for. Are you bunting a guy that's a lesser hitter's behind him? So, you know, and it boils down to this. You got to get some base hits. No, I'm not opposed to bunting at all. I mean, look at my record. But then in this new baseball, all of a sudden they want everybody to bunt, but ain't nobody bunting in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we're addressing it, and we're doing what we can. But, hey, nothing that a couple hits wouldn't alleviate all of this.
That was like watching a tennis match. I mean, it goes back and forth. First of all, let me make very, very clear. Dusty Baker listens to our show, so Dusty, if you're listening, well, no, he's not in town now. But
he's got the radio.com app.
Oh, that's true. Anywhere. That's true. You can listen to, and you can rewind up to 24 hours, in fact. But if you're listening, Dusty, we love you, and I really appreciate the candor. You know, the fact that he's heard us, he's heard other people talking about, why didn't you bunt, which you should have, you know, would you bunt in this situation? What's the issue? You said you would bunt maybe at home, not on the road, or vice versa, whatever it was. So I appreciate his candor. He wasn't really sniping at anybody there. He was just answering the questions. It's appreciated. But it was also like watching a tennis match. We don't bunt. Well, we do practice bunting. They haven't bunted in 4 years. I would bunt. I mean, it's like back and forth. Your head is just turning because he's going back and forth. The bottom line is he knows that this is one of the easiest things for people to second guess. I mean, it may be the easiest thing in baseball to second guess.
But that ain't how we function. That's, I mean, there's been some moves where after the fact I've said I understood him and we don't. That's
not
how we function.
Or before the fact,
show.
In that case, in that Dodgers game.
He himself said it made sense before the fact with the Dodgers when he talked to Spillane.
No, and I'm talking about like here, or, you know, because we've talked about it in
the
postgame
show.
I'm saying you have to bunt in this situation. You have to put Miles Straw on second base if you can and don't bunt, you know, because of the speed that he has. So this wasn't like second guessing. This was first guessing, prematurely guessing. So I think he just he was sensitive to it and answered it, but he was just going back and forth. I don't bunt. I do bunt. I don't bunt. They haven't bunt. They don't know how to bunt. Well, they do bunt. You should have seen me in San Francisco. I had a guy that could bunt, but he couldn't bunt. And it was just really kind of crazy.
And then he said they didn't bunt in the past. Well, in the past they didn't have the extra inning rule, buddy. Like that's not the same thing. And also, I mean, you just got to look at the guys that were at the plate. Jose Altuve can bunt. So there was Jose Altuve against the Dodgers. Abraham Toro with the winning run on second and no outs. If he can't bunt, get his ass to Corpus Christi and let him.
Yeah, what
go,
is the value?
Eat at that
other than saving Verlander's no hitter, what is his value?
Yeah. I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Toro. So Dusty's getting a little bit defensive. I get it. He's in a tough spot. And he's just one of those guys that will give you his opinion. He'll fight you. He'll battle you. It'll be like a debate. I like the old school mentality. And I'm a fan of Dusty. Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com asked Dusty a follow-up on his philosophy as far as bunting, and here's what the Skip had to say about that.
So, Dusty, is it fair to say that you as a manager and that your staff as coaches feel better about your guys taking swings than you do with them bunting? Is that fair to say?
No, well, some guys, depends who it is. You know what I mean? It depends who's behind. I mean, this is one of the best offenses in baseball. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some clubs don't have, well, there aren't many clubs that have the hitters that we have, you know what I mean? And some of them are forced to bunt because they don't have the hitters. And so, or it depends on what your team is built for. Hey man, we're just trying to win ball games. You know what I mean? So, okay.
Okay.
I respect it. You know, there's certainly some second guessing going on, but the last thing he said is ultimately the right, even if you do the right thing. Even if you do bunt, you move the guys over, you still got to hit the ball. You still got to – there. Ultimately, you'll need a base hit to score the run outside of a pass ball.
Five-run fifth inning yesterday for the Stros, definitely hit. And Carlos Correa, fifth in the league in batting average right now, 3-for-3 yesterday, gets on base all five times. Despite the dinger, the four-bag Mr. Bellhop request from Jose Altuve in the first inning with one out, he is not hitting very well. He's in a very, very, very – bad place, but George Springer appears to be back.
Springer's back. Last night. Correa is doing really, really well. Brantley obviously was doing well, but has the quad injury. They're scoring runs. I mean, this offense, it's still as volatile as ever and explosive as ever.
Everybody reached base yesterday. Abraham Toro reached twice because he got hit a couple times. Damn sure didn't get a hit. I can promise you that. Don't know why he keeps getting at bats, but he got hit a couple times. Astros got hit 5 times yesterday. They were all sliders, though. You know that the narrative nationally is going to be they got hit. Nah, they were. I mean, it wasn't. Didn't seem to be anything intentional there. Here is Chandler Rome asking Dusty about a video of him in the 77 World Series as a member of the Dodgers bunting for the final out of the game.
There was a video. What did you say
about you bunting for the last out of the 77 World Series?
Oh yeah, that's cool.
I really think, you know, mate, there's a scar there. There has to be.
Bro, they were down 8-2.
It was the last game of the World Series, and he bunted for the last out.
The Yankees were better.
I'm telling you, let me ask you the question.
He always going to be in that highlight every time they
always going to be in that highlight.
Reggie Jackson running down with all the people.
And don't think for a second he didn't know. And the crowd swarming the field. Can you imagine these days?
Dusty sprinted off the field after.
There were 20,000 people on the field, man. It was crazy. But let me ask you this question. So you're driving to work.
Mm-hmm.
You go the usual route.
Mm-hmm.
You turn right on a street. A little further down, you come to an intersection, and somebody T-bones you.
What's happened to
you? Your car's totaled. You're fine. You walk away. Car's total.
Okay.
You're a little hesitant, or you don't go down that street anymore on the way to
work.
Was
it a crappy car?
Doesn't matter. It's the shock of getting T-boned.
The World Series was over. They were going to lose.
Don't parse this example.
I mean, if it was a nice car, yes, I'd be upset. If I had a chance.
No, it's not about the car. It's about you getting T-boned down that street. I think you're a little hesitant when you go down that street.
Dusty wanted to go home. The game was over.
Is the game over for your life?
Putting him out of his misery.
Ball game? Game over, man. Game over. No, I think it's human nature to have that little tick, right? Yeah, I don't want to go down that street. That's where I got T-boned. Or I'm just a little hesitant and over, you know, clutching the wheel and you're looking both ways 7 times. Could it be that Dusty Baker is a little bit, got that little bunting tick in his eye? He doesn't like it.
He said he bunted too much as a manager.
Last out of the World Series.
Just depends on the whip.
That's cool.
Sometimes cool. A total car can be a favor for many people. That's
you get insurance money?
I did not, man. I should have acted hurt. She ran around. Now, because a lot of people would have acted hurt. She
was it a real true T-bone?
Dude, she ran a red light at 40 miles per hour.
Oh, my
God. I was driving a used Uke at the time,
mm-hmm.
And she admitted she was driving and texting. So it was like the ultimate, like, two-piece. And I just said she went through the driver's side door, like, kind of, like, hit it. And there were, like, 5 people just pissed off at her yelling. I was like, just chill. So I didn't act hurt or anything, but if there was ever a time where you could act hurt and get some extra money, that would have been it. But I was honest.
Dang, man.
I was honest.
Honesty is the best policy.
But man, that could have been bad if someone was in that passenger seat. But, you know, it happens. It happens. Here is David Johnson. David Johnson, the new running back for the Texans. According to Bill O'Brien, this highlight from the 2019 season should have Texans fans excited about their newest running back.
So it's my great pleasure to introduce our 2019 Arizona Cardinals Walter Payton Man of the Year, David Johnson.
Thank you. So it's a great honor. It's really a great honor. I feel really privileged. It's not just what I do on the field. It's what I do in the community, what me and my wife do in the community to help out everyone around.
Bill O'Brien with NFL.com talking about David Johnson and the criticism that he's getting for paying David Johnson's full contract, making him a pivotal piece in the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Here's the quote from Bill O'Brien. Quote, everybody has to go through their injuries and coaching changes, but you're also talking about a guy who was Arizona's Walter Payton Man of the Year. He's tough and smart and a 3-down back that can be used with Duke Johnson.
How does being Arizona's Walter Payton Man of the Year affect his play on the field?
No idea. You tell me. I have no idea. I don't know how that's
supposed
to make
me feel. These are the things that when Bill O'Brien, these are the things that still irritate Texans fans when it comes to Bill O'Brien. You know, if you just skip that middle part, everybody has to go through their injuries and coaching changes. He's tough and smart and a 3-down back. Now you don't necessarily talk specifically about how he's going to get back from the injury. You don't necessarily talk about, you know, the dip in performance that he's had. but why the hell are you talking about, you know, yeah, he's had some bad times. I'm interpreting here. He's had some bad times. He hadn't been as good as he was in the past. But, you know, he was Arizona's Walter Payton Man of the Year. What do I care?
I have no idea.
It's a good – I shouldn't say that. It's nice. It's honorable. Good for David Johnson. By all accounts, he's a really good dude. He deserved every bit of that award. I don't care as a football fan. I don't care.
He has a tweet pinned to his profile from January of 2018 saying he's going to prove everybody wrong. He's still saying the exact same thing. They've literally been writing the same article about David Johnson for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But being Walter Payton Man of the Year doesn't really have me feeling much better about him. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Training camp going on right now down the street at NRG. We've heard from Tim Kelly. A lot of loopholes, not feeling very good about Tim Kelly after hearing what he has to say about calling the offense. What about the defense? We know Tim Kelly's gotten all the investments. Anthony Weaver has not, but we'll see if Anthony Weaver can sell us on that D live from training camp next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's go to training camp. 36 days away, Texans versus Kansas City Chiefs. Training camp's going on. Pads are coming on next week. We've heard from the offensive coordinator. Let's hear from the defensive coordinator, Anthony Weaver. A lot of people very high on him. Anthony Weaver going to be in charge of this defense. Defense that lost DJ Reader. They're adding Ross Blacklock to the mix. Eric Murray, not sure what exactly that is, Figgy, but Eric Murray is going to be at safety, and they're bringing back Bradley Roby. And, of course, you got number 99 out there, finger wagging, J.J. Watts, along with some young guys on that D-line. Is he ready to go, Fig? Is he ready to go? Let's go to NRG. Let's hear from Anthony Weaver now, live from Texans training camp.
Could you talk about the pressure of being a first-time play caller, the advantage of knowing your roster, and having Romeo to lean on when you need him?
Yeah. As far as pressure is concerned, John, I don't really feel a ton of it. I know calling the plays will certainly be a new test for me, but it's one that I've been preparing for a long time. It certainly doesn't – it's not like not the pressure I faced running out of this true freshman at Notre Dame against the University of Michigan. Now, that was pressure because I was going to get smacked in the face by John Runyon. But so this is nothing. I can handle this. Knowing the roster is certainly an advantage. You know, having been around these guys, having relationships developed already, that's been a huge advantage. And, of course, having Romeo there to lean on, to assist whenever I have any questions is huge. So I'm blessed as far as pressure goes. Like I said, don't really feel a ton of it right now. The only pressure I feel is getting our guys prepared to play.
Hey, Anthony, one of the keys to overcoming the fact you had no preseason games,
Mark, I'm sorry, you were cutting in and out a little bit there. I think you asked me about
didn't do anything different
with no preseason games.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
yes, okay. I can.
I said one of the challenges with no OTAs, no preseason games, of installing the defenses and different things you're trying to put in.
Yeah, there's not so much of a challenge in getting the defenses installed, as much as it is just evaluating players without seeing them play against other teams. But, you know, we're going to put in what we're going to put in. We have a very high football IQ defense. So everything we've put in thus far, they've been able to handle. You know, I don't see that sponge leaking any water quite yet. So that gives us a huge advantage. And the only thing we're missing, like I said, is just the opportunity to go out there and see these guys compete against other teams. That's the only thing that we're really missing out on.
Anthony, when you look at the secondary, you've had some new pieces added in terms of signing Eric Murray and also drafting John Reed. I wanted to ask you about those guys and kind of what roles you see from them. And also with Conley, who had off-season surgery, do you guys expect him to be able to get back out there with you guys fairly soon and be on the field?
Yeah, you know, I'm happy with the way our secondary is coming together. I think Danton Lynn is doing a phenomenal job with each and every one of those guys. Garyon, while he did have surgery, he is starting to feel better. And I know he's on PUP right now, but he's chomping at the bit to get back out there. Already coming up to me, asking about when we can watch film together so he can know what I'm thinking when I'm making play calls and things of that nature. But I'm very pleased with that unit. Guys like, you know, Bradley Roby, John Reed, the guy you mentioned, is as a rookie. I tell you what, that guy's been impressive thus far. He operates around here like he's a 5-year vet. Lonnie Johnson, Michael Thomas, Justin Reed. I mean, we have a bunch of guys who have been in the fires, who have had success in this league, and now as they're coming together as a unit, communicating day in and day out. It's been awesome just to see that growth that they're making each and every day.
J.J. Watt told us that his body feels the best since 2015 because he's had nothing to do but work out this quarantine. I know you haven't seen a lot of him, but what do you think so far of what you have been able to see?
He looks enormous. He looks like he can go out there and play a game tomorrow. But, you know, J.J. saying that doesn't surprise me one bit. He's one of the most disciplined human beings I've ever been around. So it's really not shocking to hear that as much as it was kind of expected. You know, for a young guy, maybe they wouldn't be able to handle this scenario where they're not in such a structured environment. They're not being, hey, be here at 8 o'clock, be here at 10:30 for lifting. You're going to eat this. JJ doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. He's going to do that on his own and make sure he's prepared to go out there and do what he loves to do.
Hey, Anthony.
Thanks.
You're officially the defensive line coach right now. Do you like how are you going to handle that and being defensive coordinator?
Yeah, it's going to be about time management. Right, it's about time management, making sure I don't neglect any of my duties as it pertains to getting those guys on the defensive line right individually. But I can do it. I can do that. It's an obstacle, right? But what are obstacles there for? It's like you got to be like fire. You take those obstacles, you grow, you get better as a result, and I can handle it. But not only can it's not just me, right? I got a tremendous amount of resources with me. I got Akeem Dent, who's helping me right now with the defensive line. Romeo obviously has a defensive line background. So whenever I do, if there's ever a time where I do feel overwhelmed or I need help, there's certainly people for me to lean.
J.J. Watt said he felt like everybody on defense was locked in during the virtual offseason, especially the rookies, that they wanted to learn. I know a virtual offseason isn't ideal, but how did you feel about the focus and the intensity of your guys?
I feel great about it right now. These guys, you know, they've played this sport their entire lives. So that was essentially taken away from them for quite a bit of time. Now, we were able to get together and do some stuff virtually. But now more than ever, because we're all together, you can just tell there's a laser sharp focus on the attention to detail, on everything that's going to take for us to be successful on Sundays. I mean, these guys are just they're ready to go out there and showcase their talent and ability. So attention and focus has certainly not been a problem thus far.
Remember you telling us that even though you played several years in the NFL, it was important to go back to the college ranks and learn this coaching gig all the way from the ground up. So when you got the DC job, it wasn't one of those, hey, what just happened? Or is this the natural progression you planned from day one? You thought you'd get to this point?
You know, to say this was my plan from the beginning would be a lie. My initial plan was honestly just to coach the defensive line in the NFL. But like anything, as you reach goals, you set new ones. So once I accomplished that, I made up my mind that I wanted to be a defensive coordinator. And I knew the steps that – I knew it wasn't going to be an easy road. I knew there was a lot to learn, and I'm going to continue to learn day in and day out. But going back to the college level was important to me because I didn't want coaches to perceive that I had a sense of entitlement. Like I wanted anything given to me. I wanted to make sure that I walked in the same shoes as anybody in this profession from the bottom up. So that would never be, they could never say that I didn't earn it.
Anthony, some of the players and coaches who know you very well think you've got a chance to be a head coach. Do you want to be a head coach in the NFL?
That'd be great, John, but it's certainly not what I'm focused on right now. I'm focused on just getting these players better individually and then collectively as a unit. And doing everything we can to try to go out there and put on a show in Kansas City.
Man, I'd run through a wall for that guy.
It's hard not to just be inspired.
I wish he were an offensive coordinator. Because the way I feel about Anthony Weaver, if you gave him the assets and the attention that Tim Kelly's gotten, I would feel unbelievable about the offense. I'd be talking about one of the best offenses in the league, I think.
You'd feel like it.
Feel good about this guy. He's a classic guy.
It's hard not to like him. We'll see on the field. He doesn't have a lot to work with compared to other defensive coordinators here, but we'll see. Did Mark Berman do anything different this time?
He's got some Zoom issues.
It looks like I'm still muted, though. Can you hear me, Bill?
Does he? We could do a montage.
And he gets so frustrated.
Do they have dial up?
Boy, I tell you what, you know who's got beef with Mark Berman and he won't admit it?
Who?
Dusty.
Really?
Dusty's annoyed by
I
Mark
think
Berman.
He's just learning that that's Berman.
He's annoyed.
Yeah, he's annoyed, but I think he'll learn. He'll learn.
Dusty gave an Osuna update before the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. And by the way, post game tonight at 8:10, Dusty Baker gave an Osuna update before the game. After the game, Mark Berman asks him, "Have you gotten an update on Osuna since the last time we talked?" Like Dusty Baker was in the dugout and all of a sudden like got the second doctor's opinion or something like that.
Like they've already had the MRI. And yeah. He's flown back. He's had the MRI.
Like he got that right off the top. Mark Berman, we love you. Anthony Weaver, we love you. We wish you the best. Texans training camp continues tomorrow. We're going to hear from David Johnson. We're also going to hear from Brandon Cooks. And we're going to hear from King Bill O'Brien.
How about that?
It's going to be fun tomorrow. Exactly 5 weeks away from the start of the season.
How's that for an answer?
You know what day it is? It is hump Wednesday.
Day.
Which means it's Well-Spoken Wednesday / Hump Day with our guy Stanford Rout. Let's talk to Stanford and let's remember those who left us. No, they didn't die. They just left the AFC South. Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
A combined 25 Pro Bowls and 11 All-Pro teams have left the division from this year compared to last. Andrew Luck, four-time Pro Bowler, Jalen Ramsey, three times, Clowney, three times, Calais Campbell, five, Jarrell Casey, five, A.J. Boye, one, D.J. Reader did not make it, but he's the highest paid one tech in the league, and Nuke Hopkins, four. That's 25 Pro Bowls leaving the AFC South and 11 All-Pro teams. Last year to now.
I think that says a lot about why there's some uncertainty, a lot of anticipation, but a lot of uncertainty with this coming year and exactly where these teams are. Because not only are, you know, have their top end talent, you know, taken a, it looks differently now. Not only that, but each of these teams has had varying degrees of success all the way to the AFC Championship game, except for the Texans. So it's just kind of a transition year. It makes it really, really interesting. I wouldn't be surprised outside of the Jaguars if any of the other three teams in the division win 11 or 12 games. Wouldn't be surprised at all by any of them. Now, it won't happen, all three of them, but I wouldn't be surprised with any of them.
Yeah, and with the uncertainty in the league, with the upside, I think there's a high ceiling for three of the teams. And it's I think it will be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm with you. I think it's wide open. I think it's a strong division. You could make a case that the talent, like the superstar talent, has dropped. But I think that the...
But there's others on the way. There Younger
is.
Talent.
There is. The Texans have the best quarterback. The Colts probably have the most balanced team. And then the Titans, they got...
All-pro linebacker that's in his third year.
Yeah, Darius Leonard. My goodness. 85 in Madden. He's not happy about that. Let's just go back a year ago. A year ago to the day, this is what Bill O'Brien was talking about at training camp.
I have high expectations for him. I think that he's a talented guy. He's from this area. I know he wants to do well. I just think that he's got a chance to be a really good football player, and I think if he's healthy and consistent and showing up day to day and putting the work in, he's got a chance to be good.
It's him talking about Deonte Foreman. He was cut, I think, a week later.
Yeah. And much to the surprise of everyone, especially us, but that's why high expectations you can interpret so many different ways. We heard Will Lawing talk about Holly Waring earlier, and that was definitely not a
ringing endorsement,
a wholehearted endorsement by any stretch.
Yeah, that was not a ringing endorsement, to say the very least. Here's what Jim Crane was saying a year ago. He was talking about Gerrit Cole. This is just an example of how sometimes you got to take context clues. And you can kind of see how things are going to be 365 days from one point to another. This was Jim Crane talking about Gerrit Cole after the Strohs were looking at their finances moving forward.
Certainly you guys can add, so, you know, that would put you way over the cap. But there's always adjustments that can be made. I think you got to look at the whole picture. You got to look at this year. You got to look at next year. And you got to look at next year and the next year. So all of that will get staged in. And you know, we certainly had that in the back of my mind when we were making the decision on these players.
You got to look at math.
Crane's had an interesting, well, that was last year, but he's had an interesting couple of weeks with his discussions. We went through a lot of it yesterday, some of his comments. You know, just when you think it doesn't really, you know, that he gets it, that he's handling things correctly and straightforward, he kind of throws a little curveball at you. Well, that was a curveball from last year, but still, that's kind of been his style.
Jalen Ramsey style. Always been very feisty, always been very snappy. We loved watching him go toe-to-toe with DeAndre Hopkins. We got a taste of that week two last year. Now he's in Los Angeles. He and Nuke Hopkins are going to go at it twice a year now. It's just going to be in a different division, and we're not going to hear Jalen Ramsey speak as much. Got a little bit tense yesterday with the L.A. media types. A lot of loopholes applauding Jalen Ramsey for this most recent display of sass at the podium. Here is Jalen Ramsey with the L.A. media types walking away from the Zoom.
We're professionals, so we should be able to kind of compartmentalize. Excuse me, I can't even talk. Compartmentalize the different things, and when it's time to play football, it's time to play football. Outside of playing football, we got to do what we got to do. We got to wear our mask and social distance and do virtual Zoom meetings and stuff like that. It's cool, I guess.
Is it important to you to have a new contract done before the season opener?
My agent and the front office, they'll handle all that.
Right, right. But I mean, just for you mentally going into the season, is it important for you to have that security before you step onto the field for a game to have an extension?
My agent and the front office, they'll handle that. Come on now, you know anything. You know, man. You gotta take the answer I give you, man.
it is a fair question, though, considering,
answer,
you know.
Oh, I said my agent in the front office, they're gonna handle it. I'm worried about what I can worry about. I'm controlling what I can control. I answered the question. I'm not gonna continue answering it just because I'm not answering it the way that y'all want me to. Either accept the answer or keep it pushing. I don't want to get disrespectful, but that's the answer. Appreciate it.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
Really?
Came back more of the same from Jalen Ramsey with the media types still going at him. So the PR staff has Jalen Ramsey come back, and he doubles down on his distaste for the L.A. media types.
Tiffany and Artie just begged me to come back, but, yo, when I answer a question, like, that's the answer. I understand y'all want to ask me about my contract and stuff like that. I told y'all at the beginning of this, I said I'm controlling what I can control. And when you asked me the question about my contract, I said I'm letting my agent, who is by far the best agent in the game, David Mulugeta, in the front office handle it. I can't do anything about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm trying to do my job as a football player. I'm trying to be a leader on the team. I'm not going to do every Zoom session or however we're going to do them this year talking about my contract. Look, if it comes, it comes. It's going to be a surprise to me, like it's going to be a surprise to y'all. I called my agent up before August, and I said, I don't even want him to call me about it. I said, when you feel like my deal is done, call me. That's it. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about football. I'm worried about other things in my life. Like I got all my trust in God. So when I give y'all an answer, that's the answer. Like, I don't appreciate y'all trying to push me to a different answer because that's not what you wanted to hear. That's my real genuine answer. I'm not worried about it. That's genuine. I'm not lying to y'all. I'm really not worried about it. You all have been on the same page from the jump. If y'all want to direct them questions to them, feel free. Like, push all that to them. I'm not in those negotiations. I'm not David Mulugeta, and I'm not Les Snead. I'm not doing that. When I give y'all an answer, I would just appreciate if y'all take that. Like, that's my genuine answer. I ain't mean no disrespect to nobody, but we gotta, that's genuinely what it is. Like, you know what I mean?
No disrespect to you either. It's just,
I didn't think it is disrespect though, but okay. I just wanted to set a tone. It's like, look, that is my answer. You know, genuine is as best as I can give you. That's genuinely my answer. I can't give you another answer. That's all I'm focused on.
Just for clarity, when you said you let your agent, you know, handle it, that's fine. You know, we understand that. But when you say I'm not worried about it, that gives a little bit of insight into you saying how you feel about it. So appreciate the answer.
Right.
I loved it. I thought he handled that well. He wasn't like angry. I mean, he was agitated a little bit, but he gave him an honest answer. I believed every word. Like, he's made a bunch of money already. It's not like he's worried about that big contract. Yes, it's going to be a big contract. It's going to be more money on top of the, you know, piled on top of the money he's already made. He's not worried about it. I love that answer.
From one snappy corner to another. It is Well Spoken Wednesday, uh-oh, which means Stanford Route is in the building. Stanford Routes. Straight from the hot tub with the scenery in the background, celebrating another year of life to your radio here on Sports Radio 610. Stanford
Routes. Hey, guess
what? How you doing, my friend?
Landry, J-Lo, what's going on,
guys? How you doing, man? Awesome.
Hey, how long do you usually stay in the hot tub? Do you wait till you get, like, your fingers wrinkled? Or do you, once you start getting wrinkled, do you have to get out of the hot tub?
Landry, I have not been in a hot tub in I don't even know how long.
Oh, you were on a jacuzzi. What were you in there when you put out your birthday post?
Okay, first of all, let's go ahead and clarify. This is 2020. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and pretty much every country in the world outside of Mexico, and I think a few select countries on the continent of Africa, are not even remotely accepting a USA passport right now, simply because of how we're all acting over here in this country amid this pandemic. So, no, that picture actually was taken back in 2016 when I was in Ibiza. I just never used it. And for my birthday, I wanted to go ahead and have something other than me just sitting in the house letting my hair grow out. Is a picture for myself on my Instagram. So, yeah, so no, it's been several years since I've been in a hot tub, Landry.
Okay, there we go. Okay. I'm just making sure, man.
All right. Sure. Stan, I know we got some Texans questions, but this one I thought of you when I saw it this morning. And it's Raiders related, but his last name is Carr. And so certainly Texans fans have interest in that. Before we get to the Texans, so Derek Carr had his Zoom meeting, as a lot of players are doing right now, said he's, quote, tired of being disrespected and has a lot to prove against his doubters this year. And I'm thinking, is he even going to be a starter? I mean, no disrespect, which is what he's arguing about, but what is the quarterback situation over there?
For the Oakland Raiders?
Yeah.
It is the same thing it's been since 2014, since he was drafted. It'll be Derek Carr as the starting quarterback, and it'll be Marcus Mariota as the backup.
They're saying some good things, and I know you were plugged in. That's why I wanted to ask.
Of course, guys. And I think that we all have to remember is that, first of all, J-Lo, anytime someone says no disrespect, get ready for the disrespect coming right behind
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Derek Carr, he simply wants everybody to put some respect on his name, as they should.
Okay.
Stanford Route, no offense, but no, just kidding.
Yeah.
Stanford Route with us here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. What's the anticipation like? Because it might be different for you than it is for Wade Smith. Texans getting ready 5 weeks and a day away from the season. The matchup in Kansas City. Pads come on next week. Wade said he was ready to bust someone across the head in the anticipation of pads being on next week. At this point, for Stanford Route, a guy who not necessarily the most he's not an offensive lineman.
Here comes the disrespect. Here comes the disrespect.
He's not. You're more of a corner guy. You're more of a speed guy. What is your anticipation for the pads at this point, from your perspective?
Oh, from my perspective at this point, it's more about being able to actually get your hands on receivers, actually get out there and kind of chuck it up, mix it up with them, things like that. You'll have a few periods where you go live, so you're coming up making tackles on the running back or receivers or what have you. But I think for DBs, guys on the edges, the skill position guys, it's not so much of the physicality like the Smitty and the guys in the trenches, the J.J. Watts of the world, people like that are looking for. But all in the same breath, it's still going to be a certain level of physical that you're able to maintain and that you're able to actually reach without actually having the pads on like everything right now, just the shorts, the T-shirts, things like that. So there's more things you're able to do when you put the pads on.
Randall Cobb said, I believe it was yesterday, maybe day before yesterday, that he's worked out a little bit, thrown with Deshaun Watson a little bit, but not nearly as much as he would normally. For a first-year player, even a veteran, what does that mean?
As far as not
he hasn't really thrown with Deshaun very much at all.
Well, I think we also have to remember, guys, you know, amid this pandemic, There haven't been any off-season workouts, the OTAs, the mini camps, things like that. So for Randall Cobb, I'm not really sure where he lives at in the off-season, but I'm assuming it's not Houston, Texas. So there's probably a whole portion of this 2020 season, I'm sorry, the 2020 calendar year, that Randall Cobb was not around Deshaun Watson, so he wasn't around him to actually throw with him. Training camp just opened up 8 days ago, I believe. So it's not completely surprising that for him to say that. I know for a lot of Texans fans, they're probably kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah. You know, guys aren't really throwing with each other. But when you really actually look at the logistics of this thing, he just signed with the Texans back in March. The pandemic hit around that time. There haven't been any off-season workouts, OTA, things like that. Everything has been through Zoom. Now, has he only thrown with Deshaun Watson a couple times? Yeah, but I'm pretty sure he's probably been in communication with him, talking over route concepts, certain plays that he likes to do, maybe a certain way that he wants Randall Cobb to run his certain routes. Randall Cobb telling him, hey, Deshaun, I kind of like the ball more right here than I do right there, things like that. So I don't think that's anything for Houston Texans Nation to actually go ahead and get up in arms about, be worried about.
Here's Stanford Rout here with us, former NFL cornerback, pride of U of H here on In the Loop. I just want you to react to this. I haven't heard the whole thing, but I just know it has the internet going nuts. And we've had some fun with the corniness that is Russell Wilson. This is a video that he just put out that is making the rounds. I've seen it on my timeline probably like 76 times since I've been on the air. So we're going to enjoy this for the first time together. I want to get your reaction on it. Here's the latest video from Russell Wilson.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. You gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
Shut up, bitch! Oh my God.
Stanford, your reaction.
Good Lord.
Was that real?
Yes, that was Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And we cannot get the last 45 seconds of our lives back.
Okay. Now, that's authentic, and I love that guy for that. I love when people are willing to embrace who they truly are and not try to be somebody that they aren't. We all know that Russell Wilson, he's a good guy. He's a family man, husband, father, all of that. He's a great guy. You want him to marry your daughter or your sister, obviously, as he's done with Sierra. And he embraces his corniness or his not cool guy.
That is true.
So, yeah, I don't really have any problem with it. I'm not like the guy in high school to pick on somebody because they're not cool or, you know, they have their shirt out and it's not tucked in or, you know, vice versa, whatever. So, I mean, if that's how he is, as far as I'm concerned, he's the second best player in the league according to the NFL top 100 list. So, you know what? Maybe we all should be a little bit more corny. It might make us better in all of our industries that we work in.
Well, that's Mr.
Unlimited.
That's my excuse for being corny right there. I'm just being myself. So.
I mean, you are right. People always talk about, you know, you should own it. Well, he's definitely owning the nerdy, you know, sort of weird cat in that regard.
But I will say this. I think that we all have an alternate version of ourselves. I'm going to go ahead and say something. I know Landry's going to beat me up over this, right, but I don't care. But in a lot of ways, that's where the SR26 came from because obviously, you know, that's the logo that I use, but yeah. That would kind of be somewhat of like my alter ego or my alternate personality whenever I'd be on the field rather than Stanford Rout.
Well, no, but I get it, and that's a good point. But I think every player becomes someone else on the field. He's trying to be like just a different person off the field. Like, I think every player I've ever dealt with, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but I know you do, Stan. NFL players, like, off the field are usually really passive, kind of non-aggressive, just laid back, because they let it all out on the field.
Yes, of course. I think that, to be on 100 or to be that wild animal 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, man, that is daunting.
Yeah.
And it is draining to be that type of person. I'll go a step further. I think that we all, you yourself, Landry, Figgy, I think we all have alternate personalities, because do we all act the same way? Right now, you and Landry, off air, are you both going to talk the same way you would if your parents were also in that room?
Yes, unfortunately. My mom is not happy with me for that, but yes.
So I think that we all different versions of our personality that we may show our wife versus our parents versus just our homies while we're at the rec center. You know, Landry trying to make those three-pointers even though we know he can't shoot that well. Or if we're just sitting at the bar just having some drinks with, you know, a couple guys that we knew from high school or something like that.
Right,
so
right.
I think that we all have different versions of ourselves that we show the world at various points during the day.
All right, Stanford, let's get you out of here. It's the weekly rapid fire with Stanford Brout, former NFL
cornerback.
A five-piece right here. Salsa, queso, or guacamole?
I would just go with queso.
Okay. All right. Going with the queso. All right. You're at a barbecue restaurant. Two sides. What two sides can I get you, sir?
Love this.
Oh, barbecue restaurant. I would go with, obviously, I got to have my slice of bread because I just, I
well, that's
I love
not a
bread.
Side. That yeah, comes. That comes. Side. You got
yeah.
that.
Oh, that's not a
yeah,
side.
You can have that, sir.
Let me see here. I would go with beans.
What a baby.
And is mashed potatoes available or no?
Sure, man.
Sure, sir.
We got it all.
I mean, it's not as good as potato salad.
Do you want any gravy with that, sir, or are you just gonna roll normal?
No, I'm just gonna go normal.
Okay, there we go.
Dry.
All right, FaceTime, phone conversation, or text message?
It all depends on who it is.
There we go.
I'm having this interaction with.
Yeah, FaceTime's for the dimes. The phone call is for important, and the text is for anybody. But the text can lead to the FaceTime.
No, but I would go with text message, guys, because like I said, my parents, obviously my mom, she's not down with text message. She wants to actually hear my voice. But if I can choose, I would choose text message.
All right,
it's easier.
Scary movie or comedy?
Oh man, guys, you're really putting me on a fence here. right now, I would go with comedy.
You got everyone needs to laugh right now. I'm with you. All right, final one, Stan, before we get you out of here. Deion Sanders or Jerry Rice?
Woo! Okay. I like where you guys are going now. Come on now. I'm a DB. Okay. Jerry Rice, greatest receiver of all time. Definitely Randy Moss, the most talented receiver of all time. But come on. I played DB. That's the reason why I grew up loving the 49ers. He was only there for 1 year. Come on now. Prime time.
There we go. Stanford Brout, always a pleasure, man. We always appreciate you.
All right, you guys be safe. I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
There we go. Stanford Brout. He needs to find a hot tub, man. I'm telling you.
Potato salad, dude. How do you have a barbecue without potato salad?
That's what we went with. Stanford's got that unique taste. That's how he stays in such good shape. Let's go around the league. 5 weeks and a day away from the Texans season. Tight end coach spoke on the water polo tight end. Not sure that this was the best endorsement. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.